Okay, I hit the button.
I might have hit it after one because I'm stupid.
That's okay.
Okay.
I can adjust that.
Okay.
I always adjust your stupidity. It actually happens quite a bit in the podcast. There's a lot of adjusting on my side. A lot more than I'd like to admit there is.
Hey, I'm not the only one who's been fucking up recently.
My computer shutting down on me accidentally is not me fucking up, Steven. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, Steven.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Still crying.
Welcome back, everybody.
Bye.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven, the crybaby bitch.
And we are... Oh, okay. I guess you continue fucking talking. That's not in the script, but you do you.
What script? This is unscripted.
We are Soul of a Gamer. Every week we play a game, we tell you about it. So, yeah. We hope you enjoyed our last week's game, which was...
Halo 2.
Halo Dose is actually what it's officially called on the box. Yeah, yeah, they got really weird with that shit. They spelled out Dose, you know. And most people would have put the hard 2 in there, but they're like, no, Dose.
Which they ended up having to change back to 2 because of the Uno follow-up game Dose.
Yeah, yeah. And also the porn called Halo Dose. So
Oh.
It was copyrighted in many different languages.
Oh. I need to find that.
People are going to be looking that up later. Like, wait, who's he banging? Cortana or Miranda?
Both. And Johnson.
So, yeah, we hope you enjoyed that episode. That was a lot of fun for us. Yeah. But we're coming at you with a very different kind of game today.
Very different.
Yeah, Slay the Princess.
Yes.
This is a visual novel game, which is a term I haven't heard of before.
Crazy to me, because... Yeah. I was going to say, have we played a... I was like, Doki Doki and Little Misfortune, I think, count as... Oh, no, no.
No, I think because there's action elements
Doki kind of
probably
a
Doki
novel,
Doki.
But not
it seems like...
Little Misfortune. Cause yeah. That was a point-and-click adventure.
I wonder if when Doki Doki even came out, if it was called a visual novel or not.
I think so. And so is a... I think most dating sims are kind of visual novel. Kind
I mean,
of
that would make sense. Most have, like, little gameplay aspects behind them.
Mm-hmm. True.
But I can still see them as visual novels based on just this being the way it is.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's just get right into this.
All right.
What's on the box?
All right, so there isn't much of a box for this one. This was a digital release game, so I'll just read what Steam has on there.
We found a guy online who wrote like a synopsis for the game, and it's really not great, but we're going to read it anyway.
Here's what Steam says. You're here to slay the princess. Don't believe her lies.
Is that really all they say?
That's all it says.
Oh my god. I thought you were joking based on what I said.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we apparently did find a guy who wrote it online and wrote it really poorly. So
honestly, though, the more you don't know about this game, the better.
Yeah,
it is.
The better, I think. I think they did the right thing. It's just funny when it's like the right thing seems so wrong.
Oh, 100%. You're just like, okay.
Yeah, just like,
but it is intriguing. You're like,
I guess that works.
Well, I was like, I'm here to kill a princess, not save her?
Hell yeah.
And don't believe her lies. What is she lying about?
Everything, and you know it.
yeah,
she is a woman.
Again, we talk about this with a lot of digital release games. We wish that box art was still a thing.
Yeah.
Even if they don't still... the media for it, like I don't know, I like box arts, they're fun to view.
Digital box arts would be an interesting concept to introduce.
They really
you
would
get
be.
Like a PDF of a thing you could turn around and see the box, how it would have looked. I mean, that would have been cool,
or at least do like a poster art, kind of like how a box art would be.
Yeah, the front same... front and back poster art. Yeah, either way, I mean, either would be cool, but I get why they don't do it anymore. You know, I'm not going to Target looking for fucking games, so...
That's fair.
And I mean, I went to the game section recently to Target just
it's
to
so
look
trash.
At stuff. It's so trashy now. Back in the day, you know, you had like a shit ton of games just hanging out in the fucking glass cases that you weren't allowed to touch, and it was so cool looking at them being like, oh, I want that one. Oh, and I want that one. Oh, and I want that one. Now it's like... There's nothing here.
Yeah,
there's a controller that costs $600.
There's five games, and they have it's all the weird titled games and everything else is sold out and
Or like they just don't sell copies anymore. Physical copies are going away.
I think Best Buy is actually talking about stop selling video games, like disc copies of video games, and they're going to stop selling DVDs. They actually are taking out DVDs and Blu-rays.
DVDs completely. Make sense. I mean, that's becoming dead. That has been becoming dead for like 10 years. So
true.
I wouldn't buy a DVD anymore.
I pretty much switched my entire library over to digital.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. It's easier convenient. To store. You don't have this giant fucking walls of shit you don't want to just hang up there and have it everywhere. Like, that's the most annoying shit in the world to me, so.
True.
I know these guys. It's like, you know the guys who have the record collections? Have you ever met someone like that?
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's like taking up fucking 400 square feet of their fucking house, and you're like, Jesus Christ, why?
There's a video store that I go to a lot here in Ohio, and the lady who runs it, she says she has over 3,000 actual DVD boxes, and it takes up almost an entire
how many cats do you own?
I didn't ask that, but maybe I will next time.
Maybe you should, because it sounds like it's 20.
I doubt it's that many.
3,000 DVDs, it's got to be 20 cats somewhere.
I also buy way too many movies from there myself. Yeah. So
some things I don't mind buying, you know, the fucking some of the streaming services are the most annoying shit in the world, because they'll stream something for 6 months and then completely remove it, and you're like, I want to fucking watch that now. Like, so if I see stuff like that gets switched over a lot, I'll buy those just so I don't have to worry about picking a fucking streaming service. But
and sometimes the digital copies of movies, depending on how popular it is, are still like $12, $15, $20 or whatever.
Yeah.
But to make a disc to digital through Vudu, it costs you $2 or $5 for the high definition 4K version.
Yeah.
So and so if cheaper. I buy the movie for $1.50 at a used video store and then pay $2 to digitally create it, I spent only $3 for a movie that costs $15 normally.
And
digitally.
Then you can throw the disc out or burn it in the fire pit. Like,
exactly. Or take it back and return it and sell those for other movies.
That's true. True. All right. Well, let's move on to our next little segment here. That's a 1 out of 10, by the way, guys.
Are we damn it?
All right. So tell us about the cast and the audio.
So there's actually only two voice actors in here, which I was surprised about.
I was a little surprised by that too, actually.
Yeah, Brandon Boone, he is the composer in this. Nicole Goodnight, which if anyone's seen the old James Bond, The Man with the Golden Gun, one of my favorite James Bond movies, at the end of the movie, the lady's last name is Goodnight, or her code name is Goodnight.
Oh, okay.
And Q is on the phone with her and Bond while they're on a ship, like a luxury cruiser going back to the mainland. And they're in bed together trying to make out. And you can hear Q on the line going, "Good night, good night," trying to get her attention. And James picks up the phone and says, "Good night, Q," and slams it down. Just like, you'll never get that at movies now, but it's just one of my favorite moments in a movie.
Nice.
But yeah, Nicole Goodnight, great last name, awesome job. And then Jonathan, and she plays the princess, and Jonathan Sims is the narrator and all the other internal voices.
Yes. There's a lot of them.
Yes. And then, they did a really good job with, honestly, voice acting in this game. The voices all sounded incredible. Really cool. The ones I heard, at least, I don't even think I got to hear them all, because I think you have to play this game multiple times to hear all of the different cadences you get with the internal dialogue you have.
Yeah, I wrote down a bunch of the... so we have the voice of the hero, the optimist, the pessimist, the broken, the champion, the paranoid, the hunted, the opportunist. Let's see.
The thief, I think.
The smitten. I didn't get them all either, because there's so many different varieties of things.
I'm pretty sure one is the thief.
Probably. But yeah, I mean, and it's kind of crazy, because the dialogue in this, it kind of fractures and splits, and we'll get into that more as we go into the story, but you start as just the voice of the hero, the voice of the narrator, the princess, and you controlling the dialogue of what everyone hears you saying, too. So there's basically, like, four people, including yourself, to begin the game.
Yeah, so it's just, it's interesting. It's an interesting layout with the dialogue because there's a lot happening around you. Also, the music in this is really good.
Yes.
Like, honestly, they did a really good job with composing, like, this music that just makes you feel along the way.
Yeah.
When things start getting crazy, like, the music gets really jaggedy and awful, and you're like, I don't know what's happening, but I don't like it. So yeah. They did a really good job with all of the sounds and stuff in this game. And there's not a lot to talk about, to be honest, guys. So that's my kind of instance in it, that I really liked the way the princess sounded. And the princess voice would change based on your dialogue options with her. Mm. So if you were mean to her, she would get really shitty with you.
Yep.
If you were like really mean to her, she'd get like an evil tone to her voice. She'd get a creepy tone to her voice. She'd get a loving tone to her voice, an obsessive tone to her voice. Like, it got really fucking cool the way they did this.
Oh yeah. And
where,
like,
even though you
fracture her psyche too, and you have like five voices talking to you at once, and you're like, what the fuck?
Well, and what's crazy too is, like, you have that internal dialogue of all those voices, and she has that internal dialogue of all those voices. So it's like both of you have a million voices representing the same person, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. It's almost like an Inside Out kind of thing.
Is that the emotion one?
Yeah.
Emotions have emotions.
It's like all of the different emotions all reacting and all having their own internal thoughts, and you're hearing every thought of every emotion as you're it's insane, honestly. And like, some of the dialogue in this is really good, and I really like loved like the even just the death screens every time. Everything went dark and you died.
Yep.
And it just happened every time, and it was almost just as bad as like the Dark Souls. You died. You died. You died. You're just like, yes, everything went dark and I died. I get it.
What's crazy is I almost wish Alan Wake was this way too, with the fucking the way the narrator sounded and the way the internal voices came to fruition.
True.
Like, that would have been really cool. That would have been a sweet fucking playtime with Alan Wake, but that's okay. That's all I have really on the voices and stuff, unless you have anything extra.
There's a couple lines that I really liked, like the narrator. He talks about, like, you're arguing with him about, like, is the princess evil? Like, how would she actually, like, be evil? How do we know she's actually evil? And he's just like, it's no use arguing semantics over a metaphorical chicken or egg, because the egg is hatched and it's about to ruin everything. Yeah, I had some other lines and stuff that I liked, but it's just, like, there's a lot of just, like, weird things.
Yeah, they did a really good job of making this game strange, but also approachable, I guess I would say.
Yeah. I guess I don't have, like, too much to say. I kind of don't want to give too much of the, like, dialogue and stuff away, because it's great to just hear it for yourself and see what you can unravel yourself.
The way these guys do this game is so good, you should really play it. But we'll get in. I think that gives away what we're gonna say for our ending thing, but we'll talk about a little bit more about the gameplay and stuff here coming up. So let's go.
All right,
how does it play?
All right, how it plays, well, as we said, it's a visual novel. There's not much playing. It's just choosing dialogue and just following the story.
There's actually zero playing. Like, there is interacting with items, but that's about it, and it's only a select few items.
Yeah.
And it's a mirror more and a fucking knife.
Clicking the option
to take the
pick
item.
It up. Yeah.
Yeah. Or not.
Yeah.
This game is made by Black Tabby Games. You know what other game they made?
I don't.
Nothing, because this is the only game they've ever made. So.
No, I thought people talked about other games that they've done.
I don't know. They didn't. So they didn't have a Wikipedia listing for their games. So I assume this is the only one they fucking made. If it's not, then apparently they're just not important enough to have a Wikipedia listing of all.
Because some
games.
Of the reviews I read even were talking about like how much they love Black Tabby games.
So there was a game I saw, Scarlet something. So it could be that game. Because that game came up with why they chose this person to do their voiceover. The girl.
Yeah.
Apparently they chose the girl based on a stream she was doing of that game. It's like Scarlet something. And they heard her do every single voice in the game. And they were like, we need her for our next game.
Oh, yeah. So Scarlet Hollow is their other game.
Okay. So, yeah. So they watched her play it. And they decided to cast her in this game as the princess, which I think is a really fucking cool way to find your princess.
that is really awesome.
Yeah, it's really fucking sweet.
And she is a great princess, so...
Yeah, she did a great job voice acting in this. Gameplay in this, it's as simple as you guys can possibly think of. You listen to the guy talk, you read what the guy's saying, and you click an option to respond.
I will say I do love that there is almost, there's a ton of options. Like, you have upwards of 12 options sometimes in different dialogue choices. Like, that's a lot of options. A lot of games give you 3 or 4. This gives you 12.
Yeah, they did a really good job of showing you which options were non-committal to the story and which options were. So there would be an explore in front of what was just, like, gaining information. And then there wouldn't be an explore in front of something that wasn't gaining information. So that's what you're actually saying for real to the person as a choice, so you don't have that choice again, which I really did like. I like that the way they did that, because otherwise, you know, we've complained about this before where there's like a point of no return.
Yeah.
And dialogue is especially true because you could say something that just ends the fucking dialogue. And then you're like, but I wanted to know this too. God fucking damn it. I didn't know that would end it.
Yeah, and you literally can just sit there and hit every explore option every time and then pick an option. Like, which you can get as much information as you want.
It's so nice. It's so fucking cool. I love it.
But I will say, like, there is times where it is better not to say anything. Or times there's certain endings you can do that you can't do unless you don't talk at all.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm almost positive there is, but sometimes you're like, I can't say nothing here. She's being a bitch.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's actually really interesting. I love that they give you like a multitude of, like I said before, just way too many options. Like, it's incredible the different paths you can go in this game and how different each, like, run through goes, because you kind of have to play through the game like 5 times to actually beat the game.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. Honestly, you do have to play this game several times if you want to get all the endings. One ending really stuck out to me as being what I would consider the best ending. So I'm guessing that's like the quintessential, this ending would be best, which I almost got if I didn't listen to the fucking voice in my head.
The worst ending is actually nominated the good ending, and it's the easiest one to get. And they even say the achievement that it doesn't count as as an ending. Like, you can't just get this ending and be done.
Okay. I think I know which one you're talking about.
That one, you literally don't say anything and you just go try to kill her, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I did. I did that for my second one.
Okay.
So that's gameplay, guys. There's not a lot of gameplay in this.
There's not
really
much.
There's almost none. So let's just move on.
Yeah.
It's story time. Let's get started.
All right. Read us a story.
Ooh, we're doing story before reviews.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot about the reviews.
Oh, well, that's okay.
We'll do story first.
We'll do story first. Okay. A person appears in a forest and is told by a voice that they are there to kill a princess who is locked away in a cabin a short while away. I don't want to say a mile there. The hero questions this course of action, but the narrator assures them that this is what they are here to do, so that they should just do it. Their hero heads to the cabin and finds the princess. There are a number of ways to start this encounter. Grab a knife, or don't grab a knife. Threaten the princess, or don't. And on and on. The princess' mood changes depending on what the hero does. There are 8 scenarios depending on which action the hero takes, most of them leading to the hero's death. Upon dying, the hero is taken back to the beginning of the adventure. The hero is aware of them coming back, but the narrator is not. The princess is also aware, but she might play dumb depending on the scenario at the moment. After the first encounter is over, the princess is taken by hands, and another being speaks to the hero. This being is called the Shifting Mound. The Shifting Mound needs more examples of stories in order to complete itself. The hero realizes that this is the true form of the princess, and at that point they can either kill her or complete her and save her or kill her later. After a while of doing more scenarios, the Shifting Mound is complete, and the narrator reveals that you and the princess are both gods. The narrator created you to kill the princess because she is meant to end the existence of all who currently live. The narrator created the two of you by splitting one cosmic entity into two. The princess is also the cause of all death in the universe. The narrator is just a reflection of the being that created the two, however, and soon perishes after revealing all this information. After all is heard, the hero must decide the fate of themselves, the princess, and all living things.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so this game, like we said earlier, there's a lot of fucking options, guys.
Oh, it's insane.
The scenarios are crazy. We'll probably just talk about the ones we ended up with here.
Yeah.
So I ended up with...
eight different endings?
Yeah, eight different. I honestly don't know the endings. I know there's eight different scenarios the princess can become. And then I think there's an additional one if you just write out fucking kill the princess.
Yeah, from what I looked up, I saw an article that it showed eight different endings. I saw a YouTube video said that there was like some things added. Originally, yeah. This game only had four endings, apparently.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they have added stuff later on. Yeah.
So the most simple ending here is to not say anything to the princess, take the knife, go down, stab her, go out, and then that's the game. Did you do that?
I did not.
So I actually did that my second time because she killed me the first time. And I'm like, because I went through the whole, my first one was the monster princess, the giant one, I guess.
Yeah. The first one is the, the giant one for me.
Yeah.
Too.
So I went down there with the knife and then she asks like, who's there? Why are you here? And I go, I'm here to kill you. Yep. And the narrator is just like, why'd you give it away? And I'm like, shit. Why did I give that away? I thought she'd be weak. You said she was a weak-ass princess. And then I hesitated. Yeah. The hesitation was the best. I didn't know I hesitated. And then she, like, knocks the knife out of your hand and begins beating the shit out of you. I'm like, this is horrible. She breaks every bone in your body and just, like, then smashes your head. It's, like, the most fucked-up thing in the world. It's so funny.
It's so ridiculous, and she switches so quickly. It's like so it's insane. Quick. You're like, oh, the voice sounds calm and nurturing. Oh, this she might not be evil after all. Oh God.
Yeah. So she I die there, and then she becomes like the second. You get like chapters in this game every time you do something. So the first chapter is always your initial meeting. The second chapter is always your second meeting, and it changes the viewpoint of the princess based on what you did in the first chapter. So in this one, she becomes like a giant. Like she's like 8 feet tall. She's muscle bound. She breaks her chains easy. You know she can. And she takes you again, just beats the shit out of you again. And then I can't remember the third one. I think she tore off her own skin. To break out of the chain?
I don't know if I saw that one.
That might be a different one. I can't remember exactly. But the third time, I think I was able to kill her, but she killed me. Like, we killed each other.
Oh, okay.
And then when the hands took me, you're like, this one was all vengeance. I'm like, I could fucking tell.
Yeah, after I did the dominance one, I did the beast one.
Oh, I didn't get the beast one.
Okay. The beast one's interesting because you go down there and, I tried to kill her, but then she got like the upper hand and then she killed me. She chewed off her own arm to get out of the cage and then came after me because I wanted to just leave her down there. I think that's what it was. And then, the second time I go down there, it's like a jungle down there. And she's like cat-like creature. And she walks up to me and I'm like, I'm going to stand still. I'm just going to do it. And she just swallowed me whole.
Why the hell did you stand still?
And
it's not a T-Rex,
the
dude.
Inside
she
of her stomach
see you.
Is like this acid that's burning me every time I'm touching her. And I was actually able to kill her from the inside.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it was... So interesting. And then let's see, what are the other ones I did? I ended up getting the ending of leaving the cabin together for my like true ending that I did.
Yeah. So the second time I went in, I just decided to kill her, be quiet and kill her, and I killed her. And then like you end up in the cabin, like you go upstairs and there it is like, good job, now I'll give you your prize. And your prize is that you're in a cabin alone, and if you open the door, there's nothing there.
It's oblivion.
I'm like, well, this is stupid.
There's no death in the world now because there's nothing.
Yeah, so then I stabbed myself to kill myself to restart it. This is after I met the Shifting Mound. And because I wanted to complete the Shifting Mound storyline.
Yeah.
And then my next one was the knife one, which was fucking insane.
Okay.
So I can't remember how to start this one, but I ended up stabbing the princess. The second time I went there, she's like, come here, come closer. And this is where she's playing dumb. And like,
oh, yeah.
Your inner voice goes, she totally knows what's happening, dude. She has a knife behind her back. She's like, I don't have a knife behind my back.
Oh, geez. I didn't see this one. Okay.
This is like my favorite one because she's sarcastic. She's like, oh, so you think that you came down here. You killed me. I'm lying that I don't know you killed me. And I have a knife behind my back? None of that is true. And then the voice is like, clearly all of that is true. It's really funny. And then it's like, it's even crazier because it turns out she doesn't even have a knife behind her back. It's in her fucking arm.
Oh, whoa.
She cuts open her arm and her arm becomes the knife.
What the fuck?
And she kills you. And then she's like, I'm done with these games. Let's fuck. And then she like takes her arm, rips it off, and then just stabs you. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And this is the craziest one to me. And there's a reason for this.
Okay.
Because you meet every single voice.
Oh. Okay.
So you actually die like 50 times in this one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So every time you come back, this one it might be one of the only one with 4 chapters. Because I know most of the other ones I did had 3 chapters.
Just 3, yeah.
Most of mine, so 3. This is the 4th chapter in this one. You go back and then she's just a compliant. She's literally just made of knives when you go back the third time. Yeah.
Interesting.
And you keep going back to fight her and you keep dying. So you get every single voice eventually. And then you finally you just say, and then you give up everything. And you focus. And you parry every single one of her blows. And because the only real part about her is her heart and the center of all her knives, and you stab her heart and you kill her. Like, it's just like part of the story. Oh, okay. Like, you clear all the voices in your head and you can finally just focus on her.
Yeah.
And that one was crazy. That was like my favorite one of all of them. That one was so fucking cool.
I did notice that getting the voices to agree was always better. If you could somehow get all of the voices you're hearing to all come into agreement, it worked out way better.
The only voice I didn't like was the timid one, because that was the one that fucked me over in the first one. He's like, no, don't kill her.
I think one of my
She's
favorite
our
ones
queen.
Was, I think one of the famous favorite ones for me was the voice of the smitten, the one who was just absolutely in love with her.
That was a fun one. So that one I think you had to start, because I didn't grab the knife for one of mine.
Yeah, so I was going to say I could do this
one. Yeah, go for it, because I'm pretty sure I did this one too.
So this one, you don't take the knife down. You go down there. You offer, you say when you're on the stairs that you're here to save her. She's like, what, really? You go down there. You examine the chains. She asks if there's a key. You're like, maybe I'll go look upstairs or something. When you try to go upstairs, the narrator locks you downstairs. Like, you're not leaving until you kill her. And she starts immediately chewing off her arm.
Yeah.
And to get out of the chains, and then you go check the door together, the knife appears, you pick up the knife and you're going to go to the door and try to like maybe pick the lock of the knife.
Remember, the knife appears before that because she starts chewing off her arm, and then you get the knife and you're like, this is going to be way easier if we do it this way.
Yeah. But then you're walking up, she's leading the way, as she's walking up towards the stairs, the narrator takes control of you and makes you stab her.
Yeah. But
she survives.
So so you don't stab her. I resisted.
Well, you don't resist at first. You can't resist at first. So you have to stab. You try to attack her, but she like dodges it and barely gets hit. Then she kills you. And then the second time you go down there,
you're skipping the most important part. She doesn't know how to kill you.
Yes.
So literally, she just keeps stabbing you.
No, that's the second part.
No, that's that part.
No, it's the second part.
She's like, I'll make it quick.
No, that's the second part. Trust me. So she kills you. Then you wake back up. You go back to the cabin again. You go down there without the knife again. And she is like apologetic. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're back. I'm so glad. I'm so sorry that. And then you can explain to her that the narrator forced you to try to kill her. And then she's like, oh, okay. And then, like, you can resist him this time because he tries doing the exact same thing again. And all the options are stabber, resist, stabber.
You had different options, dude. That was my first one. That was my first one. That's why I was wondering what you were talking about. You couldn't resist. You still can't resist, but that's my second one was when the lover came in. This was only a 2-chapter 1 for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember if this is a 2 or 3 chapter 1. I don't remember.
So the first chapter for me, I was able to resist. I still tried to stab her, and she dodged because I warned her in the first one.
Oh, yeah. I warned her the second time.
And then I resist, but I still... And then she takes the knife, and she starts stabbing me. And she's like, sorry, I've never done this before. Oh, God, am I doing it right? And you're like, no, you're doing it very wrong.
Yeah, she stabs you like way too many times.
And yeah, just, it's so
funny. You finally fall over and then you slowly die. And then...
Yeah, and that's you get the fucking guy, though. That's the best part. You get the smitten, which is he is the funniest one.
He is
my beloved. I love you so much. He's just that guy. He's that like every shitty knight and every shitty fucking like. Like a medieval movie. It is so fucking funny.
My love, I barely know you, but I would ravage the world. I would watch the world burn just to see you, just to hear your voice.
It's
I would
so
kill
funny.
Everything in this planet if it meant just seeing your face.
Yeah,
it's that crazy.
Yeah, it is so funny. His is absolutely the funniest, and the others are good too, but man, his fucking just killed it. Anyway, continue. Continue to the end of that one.
Yeah, so the next time you go down there is with the plants and the vines and stuff.
Oh, no, you didn't finish the ending of that one.
Or was that a different? I'm mixing up some of the endings, I think.
Yeah, so this one, remember, after you get the guy, you're able to completely resist the narrator because he's, like, stronger than the narrator. Your love is.
Yes. Then you work together to get
to open the door.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you can open the door easily. And then but what's weird is before that, I don't know if you did this, but you can ask her like, well, what do you want to do? And she's like, I'll do whatever you want to do. And then you say it again. Well, what do you want to do? And she's like, I'll do whatever you want to do. And it gets really creepy. And I'm like, I wonder if I should push this. And I decided not to push it because I'm like, no, let's keep her lovey dovey. She's very happy right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you take her upstairs and you can both open the door together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you open the next door together and you're outside in the normal world. And the world didn't end. And she goes, oh, this feels great. Can I ask you a question? Is love supposed to feel so cold?
Oh, yeah. And,
that's when the hands grab her. And I'm like, oh, God, that was fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
So that one was hard because it's like, oh, this is the one you'd want. This is the one that every person would want to be the real one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what one did you have next?
After that one, it was one where I tried to save her, she killed me. Oh, no, this is the one where it was, like, the illusion of choice, because she fractures because she's so confused, because, like, you try to save her, but then you kill her, and then, she kills you in retaliation for you killing her, and then you come back again, and you able to earn her trust and, like, save her, but she's, like, fracturing it this time. And it gives you the option to save, kill, and leave her at the same time.
Yeah.
So you do. I did all three at the same time. And then it's like, this is just the illusion of choice. When you have all the options, none of them matter. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the one that I got, I want to say I got the one where it was like not a witch.
Oh, the witch one was good.
Not the witch one. It's
that's the illusion of choice one, I believe.
Okay, so it's not that one. It's the ghost one, the wraith, I think it was called.
Oh, I didn't get that one.
So that one was crazy because you like start to save her, and then like it gets hard to save her. So you're like, fuck this, I'll just kill her instead. And so you kill her, and then you come back, and she's a vengeful spirit. And her, like, underground area is, like, super fucked up. It's like she's a ghost trying to kill you.
Okay.
And then the third time she kills you. And then the third time you come back and she, like, splits your organs up and blows you up from the inside. The third time you come back, she possesses you and becomes one of the voices in your head.
Oh, weird.
And she can talk to all the other voices.
I do remember that one. I did do that one.
That one was so much fucking... it's so creepy. But then the hands take her from inside you, which is also really creepy.
Yeah.
It gets really fucking weird.
I forgot to say with the Illusion of Choice one, the way that one ends, when you go back, when you go to the cabin is every cabin. Oh, no, no. If you decide not to go to the cabin and you walk away from the cabin, did you ever do that?
Yeah, it just takes you to the cabin no matter what.
Yeah, but did you keep walking away from the cabin?
Yes, I can't remember what happened when I kept walking away.
You do that and it keeps fracturing reality. And then all of a sudden you look on the hill and there's every hill. There's like 30 hills and they all have the cabin on it. And then when you go up to it, the cabin looks like 30 different cabins all into one. And then you go down there and you open up the door and it's this labyrinth of staircases that all go in different directions, that all branch into different directions, that branch into further directions, that branch into further directions. That one's a really crazy one.
Yeah, well, I bet. So, yeah, I mean, those are pretty much all of our experiences with this. There's so many in this. But let's talk about some of the endings. What ending did you get?
So I did do the leave the cabin together ending, where I basically accepted that we should be together. We should always be together, that we can work together to get out of this world, defeat the narrator, and move on to our actual existence, what we're supposed to be, because we're supposed to be intertwined as one.
Yeah.
So I did that ending.
You keep saying leave the cabin ending, and that's not that ending. That is that ending right there, that how you're describing it, but the leave the cabin ending is actually a different ending.
Okay, well, I'm reading the title of this one.
I know, it says
leave the cabin together ending. I don't know.
It's a weird one because the two of the endings involve the cabin. You go back to the cabin. I got one of them. You can choose to bring this knife down in the cabin because you're basically going into the being's heart. You figure out the only way you can kill the being, or like get through to the being, I guess, is to go into their heart and talk to like the true form of the princess, which is the original form that she took. And you do that, and you can either bring the knife down or not, and all you have in your head is the voice of the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucked up, and I listened to it. It's like, hey, that knife on the table's still there. Maybe you should bring that down just in case. We have more options when you have that. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll bring it down, and I bring it down. And I'm like, the only options I had at that point were to kill her and, you know, end all death and suffering in the universe and then be stuck in the cabin forever, because that's what honestly happens. Or have her kill me and we restart the process all over again and we're in an endless loop.
Yeah.
And then you go through that whole, like, well, what if in one of the loops, because you forget about all this if you do that. And like, what if in one of the loops I just decide to kill you? She's like, well, then you do that. And in the end, it's just all up to you and how you feel. And so that was the ending that I chose because I didn't want to kill her, but I wanted to be with her. And at the end of that, you can say, I love you. And she goes, I love you too. And I'm like, that's the best ending. And then you look it up, and you're like, if you don't bring the knife down, you could become mortals and just leave the cabin together. I'm like, fuck you! Fuck you! I was so pissed.
The actual name of the ending I did is called Our Song.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Because leave the cabin together, it's like both of your hands go on the door. I saw the picture for it. And it seems really sweet. I'm like, that seems like the ending that I would have wanted.
It is a good ending.
Yeah, You're both mortals now, so you don't have to worry about being gods, and you're both individuals, which is important.
The one I did was we are both gods.
Yeah, yeah.
Still,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Well, yours is not considered the best ending, though, because
no.
because she's still alive, death still happens. If she's still alive as a god, death in the universe still happens.
But if she's alive as a... still happen in the universe, because life without death isn't meaningful.
So somehow it balances out. I don't know how, but it balances out in their little worldview. But remember, it was the guy, he feared death, the narrator, that's his whole, like, character, so that's probably why he doesn't want death.
Yeah.
He could be just speaking for himself, rather, because he says, like, everyone down there is afraid, and it's like, but are they afraid, or are you just saying that because you're afraid? Like, which one is true?
I mean, everyone fears death, but, that's also the thing that makes...
The best technical ending would be the one where you both become mortals, because it's... A, you take out all the death in the universe because you're not the cosmic being that erases everything anymore. And then B, you don't have to... You're technically one being split into two while you're gods. So you're not really yourself. But as a mortal, you have that option to become something that is more aligned with who you are.
That's the only ending where everyone survives, too, is the one you're talking about.
Yeah, so that seemed like the best ending to me when I read about it. I'm like, well, I'm fucking pissed now because I almost got there. I almost fucking did it. If I didn't bring that goddamn knife down, fucking voice of the hero in my head saying, we should bring the fucking knife down. Fuck you, guy.
No, you don't bring the knife down.
Well, I didn't know. He said I'd have more options. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I like more options.
Yeah, more options doesn't always mean better.
I know, but I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it. And that was a dumb choice. I should have done it the other way.
That's fair, fair.
Yeah. But yeah. That's the game in its entirety, so move on.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Let's go.
It's time for reviews.
All right, well, we should have done this earlier, but now is time for the episode where we find out if you are a little bitch boy like ourselves, or if you are valid in your reasons for liking or hating the game.
Let's hear it.
I did find there's actually not too many negative reviews on this game. Like, it has like 9,000 reviews, and there's only like, I think there's only a few hundred. So many. Yeah.
That's a lot of reviews for this game.
Yeah.
It came out last year, didn't it?
I think so. I can't remember fully off the top of my head, but we'll start out with our first negative review. A friend recommended this game, and obviously I wanted to give it a try. There's a lot of work and love put into this game, and I respect that. The game clearly isn't meant for everyone, though. After a while, I started to be able to just guess what was going to happen, and that makes it a bit boring for me. I feel like there were several options to select from. Everything just forced you into going along rather than leaving it as a choice for the player. If that makes any sense, obviously. I don't want to spoil anything for people who want to play, but I just feel like I didn't live up to the hype.
All right, I mean, that's... I guess that's fair. He doesn't feel like it did anything he wanted it to do.
Don't know how you could say you could guess what was happening next. Like, I don't see how anyone's like guessing next.
After your first one, I can see you say that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because you now know the concept of the game. It took me a while to like say, oh, the chapters are only for this moment. I thought the game was over after this. That's crazy. So... maybe he's just smarter than I am and just knew right after the first chapter, like, oh, this is going to be one of those games, is it?
Well, and it looks like he only played it for an hour, so.
Yeah, so he really almost finished the game, actually.
Well, no, it's like 3 hours to get through five vessels. He probably did one or two vessels.
He got through one third of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right, so valid or...
valid, I guess. He didn't like it. It's whatever. He's allowed not to like the fucking game.
He did say he still respected how much love and thing was put into the game. So I will give that.
He thinks it's predictable. You know, some people are going to be like that. Like, this game is just too predictable for me. And even though you can still have fun with those fucking games, I guess it doesn't matter.
All right. Next one, another negative. A passable narrative game in the vein of the Stanley Parable that leans too much into subversion and meta storytelling, thus becoming a pale... pastiche of the genre. Through the plenty of choices, none feel like they grant the player a sense of agency. You passively go from one dialogue to another without any care, and outcomes often fall flat and mute of consequences. The writing in itself is pretty decent, but often falls into pseudo-metaphysical discourses that are more of a snore than exciting.
This guy's a giant fucking asshole, isn't he?
Yes.
Like let this me over, just reads. Let me overcomplicate this entire review. Oh, 87 years ago, I doth taketh this game into my bosom. Like, what the fuck are we trying to say? Just say the game is fucking bad. You don't have to go out on a tirade and use every word that nobody knows the fucking meaning to. Stop being an asshole.
I had to dickhole. What? Pastiche or whatever the fucking pronunciation of that word is.
I have no idea. I don't know what that is.
It's basically just saying it's a pale Stanley Parable game. Like it's a pale comparison to that.
He could have used more familiar language and said derived from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like literally when you use unfamiliar language, you're doing it on purpose because you're an asshole. That's the only reason you're
doing
that.
You're trying to put people down, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're trying to sound intelligent when you're probably just a fucking moron. So go fuck yourself, dude. I'd love to meet you out on the street. You're fucking a little bitch. I'd call you a bitch right to your fucking face and see what you'd say to me.
Fair. He'd probably say a bunch of high dialogue.
And then he'd get punched right in his dick. So I guess that didn't work out for him, did it? Dumbass. God, I fucking hate those people. Yes, you're allowed to sound smart. No, you're not allowed to sound smart like that. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, and you know, a lot of people really enjoy meta commentary and meta humor and meta this and that. Like, there is something that's, like, that's to be said.
The entirety of Dungeons and Dragons is meta fucking shit.
Yes.
Right?
Everyone has meta knowledge.
Yes. And the point of saying, like, meta out loud before you say something, like, it's really interesting when you put down the game for being too fucking meta.
Well, and some of the best franchises of, like, films, like Scream, is the best meta horror film ever.
That's whatever. This guy is a little bitch, you could tell.
Yeah. All right. Last negative review. I love a good visual novel, and this one's getting raves, but I just don't get it. At first, it seems like a Stanley Parable-esque meta-comedy with some horror elements thrown in, then it descends into mythological mumbo-jumbo. I never found the game funny or scary or moving or whatever else it's trying to be. Also, a technical nitpick, the Renpy engine it uses, enormously CPU intensive, causing the normally silent fans on my M1 Mac to rev up like a leaf blower. And that just doesn't make any sense for a visual novel to run like that.
Well, he's using an M1 Mac, so that's his first fucking problem.
Yeah, I was like, don't ever put a negative review because of your PC being not up to par.
You literally did not. Like, here's the thing. You could tell that his PC is not up to par because normal people would say, this put my PC on high alert mode. I have these fans. I have this fucking graphics card. I have this cooling system. You know, they'll give specifics just to let you know, like, hey, I'm not a fucking shrub, guys. I'm telling you exactly what my shit is, and it's good.
Yeah.
And it's making my shit not be good. So do not play this if you don't have good. Like, that's what normal people would do. Use an example of their own technology in order to showcase how it was. I don't remember having any problems playing this fucking game.
I didn't have a single one. Hear
my fans blowing up. RoboCop, my fans were going fucking insane.
Yeah, seriously.
And we mentioned that. Like, but I didn't, you know, I didn't give it a bad fucking review based on that. But if, I mean, here they are doing it. Fucking idiots.
I mean, Vampire the Masquerade made my computer fucking non-existent.
true.
And software. I still really love that game.
Software issues, not for hardware issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that game is very old. There's no way it's fucking over your hardware.
Yeah, no, seriously.
But seriously, like, that's such a weird way to put that. Like, just to sit there and fucking bitch about... I was with him. If he didn't like the game, if he thought it was lame, that's fine. But then you mentioned how it's making your fans sound like they're going crazy. Yeah. Fuck you. Get out of here. Get out of here with your M1 Mac bullshit.
And the visuals are just so awesome. And I love that, like, you can move them with your mouse and it, like, shakes the entire screen.
But
and
it's
makes
not
that, like,
that
weird
crazy,
visual
too.
Effect.
It's not, like, fucking high-definition 4K bullshit. It's just...
It's all hand-drawn. It's fucking beautiful.
It really is. So I don't understand where he's getting that his fans are going crazy. I'm guessing his computer is just a giant pile of garbage.
It's gotta be. I don't understand.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I don't know how old the M1 Mac is, but I'm guessing it's not one of the newer Macs.
I have no idea. I don't even know what an M1 Mac is.
Don't even look it up. I'm just going to assume this guy's a little bitch. Last review or last bad review?
That was the last bad review. I'll do some good reviews and then I'll do some funny ones.
All right.
So, good review. Yes! Behold, the perfect woman.
Okay. Right. That's just the he's trying to be the one guy, the
voice of the smitten.
Yeah, voice of the smitten.
This one, love my eldritch wife heart. Seriously, one of the best games ever. Beautifully crafted, and you can tell the team were passionate about this work. But I guess I should expect that from my Black Tabby game.
Okay, so sounds like Black Tabby is just a fun.
Yeah, I kind of need to try their other game, yeah.
Maybe Scarlet we need to Hollow add Scarlet Hollow to our fucking list.
I mean, I'm down.
Yeah.
Very entertaining visual novel that kept me coming back. The voice acting and interactions between the voices pull the show for me. The most enjoyable routes are the ones where they went all in with it. The replay value is also very high, there are a lot of choices you can make. And figuring out the routes on your own is the most and biggest part of the fun.
Yeah, and what's nice about this game too, we didn't talk about in gameplay, but there is no saving in it.
You know, you can save.
Can you save your where you're at that moment?
Yeah.
And then load it back? Oh, yeah. Shit. They should have taken that out. I saw they did a bunch of auto saves. The only reason I don't like that is because then you have to keep going back. You can just like keep choosing different options rather than playing through the story again.
Yeah.
Kind of ruins replayability, but.
Oh, every visual novel game has the option to save and then load. And yeah. It gives you 9 pages of 6 slots to save. So yeah. You can have a ton of saves. I saved all the time in this game, like 3 times
I never saved.
Like,
I just went
per chapter, but I never loaded any of them back. So
I forgot about the save system because it like I looked at it. And I'm like, it already auto saved 17 times. I'm not going to even bother this.
Fair. All right. The couple other short reviews. You have to experience it for yourself.
Yeah, fair. I like
100%
that.
100% agree. Yeah.
That one's good.
I'm going to be thinking about this game for a long, long time.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a mind fuck.
It's, oh man, it made my brain so happy with the amount. I was like, what the fuck do I do now? Yep. So going into some funny ones now. She is hot, but she is crazy, possessive, psychotic, and maybe an elder god? I can fix her.
It'd be funnier if he went... She is hot. She is crazy, possessive, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I already said she's hot, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the whole, like, if they're hot, they're crazy kind of thing.
I cannot tell you. There was at least 50 reviews that just said, I can fix her. And then I saw this one that was like, I can fix her, 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 I can fix her. I can make things worse. I can fix her, I can fix her.
That's good. Those are great. It's so true. It's so true. Guys are like the stupidest people in the world. They always just want to go after the people who are not good for them.
That's just what it is a lot of times with people, man. I swear.
A lot of guys, A lot of guys.
A lot of girls, too.
A lot of girls, too. But I'm going to say more guys because they're all fucking insane.
Yeah. Guys just feel like they can't do better.
Yeah. And they're like, I can fix her instead of finding someone new.
Yeah. Waited a full year for this game to come out just so I could walk into a cabin, unchain a princess, and guide her out of the prison like a hero. We even got to kiss. Nothing bad happened at all. Just pure romance, I promise. whatever happens to her is probably a reflection of your fetishes, you sick freak. That's
good. She this does feel like a fetish game.
It does. She beat me up and then turned me in. She beat me up and then turned into a 20-foot tall dummy mommy and stole my narrator.
Stole my narrator.
I just love dummy mommy.
Yeah, that's good. That's funny.
All right, that's all I have.
For those were good. Those were fun. The good ones were good. The bad ones were okay, except for that.
The first bad one was really good because he still respected the game. Yeah, very constructive. Yep. Yeah.
The second bad one would have been good if he just used regular fucking language like a normal fucking person. And the third one, it was good up until the point they complained about it being too hard for their fucking PC.
Yeah,
without
sure.
any fucking specs. All right. Well,
and I liked
just,
all the positive reviews. Yeah.
Yeah, the positive ones were great. Those were actually perfect.
Yeah.
All let's right. go.
Worth, or not.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is another Worth game for sure. This game was just so much fucking fun. There were so many cool things about this game that you just got to experience. And, like, even though there's not a lot of action, this game is that perfect balance of fucking story in a game. There is so much good story that you don't even notice 3 hours going by.
Oh, it's seriously, it's incredible. Like, I didn't want to put this game down at all. I just wanted to play through the end. I was like, what is this? I need this. I want to go Black Blade right now. Like, this game is incredible.
It was fun.
I have to say, like, we've said this before on the podcast, but I absolutely love doing the podcast for the reason that we're playing the most random games I've never heard of or never thought about or never would have played in my life before. And this is just like... Oh my god, I can't believe I didn't even know about this until now, and now I want everyone to know about this game.
Everyone should know this game, and it's incredible. Hope that, I do hope the people that listen to this actually go and try the games, even if we give it a shit review, like, go and try it, see if you like it, I don't know, I might fucking hate a game, to be honest, so.
True. This game is only a $20 game at full price when it first came out. A lot of times you can get it on sale for like $10 or $15. Yeah.
I bet so you can get it as low as $5.
You probably could. It's really worth it. I would even pay the $20 for it. I did pay the $20 for it, I
honestly,
believe.
Give it to the creators. They seem like a good bunch.
Well, and seriously, small creative teams like this that have very few people working on it, the do games is incredible. Give them all the money you can. Make them more popular. Make them make more games. Give them bigger budgets for the next games. Like, they deserve it.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, game making is a dying breed. It's going to become just like 5 companies doing it pretty soon. So,
I mean, with all the layoffs that have been happening recently, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. It is insanely volatile right now. So,
yeah.
So, it's just anytime you can support a small gaming company, please do.
Yeah. All right. And then next week, we have Cassette Beast.
Yeah, Cassette Beast.
A Pokemon-like...
It's actually a sequel to God, why can't I remember the name of the game now? No, it's a Beast game. It's a Sega game. It's a really old game. Altered Beast. It's a sequel to Altered Beast.
Is it actually? It's not. I was like, I don't even know what Altered Beast is.
You never played Altered Beast? God, you're such a piece of shit.
I didn't play anything Sega. Dude, I never had one. I didn't have a friend who had one.
Let me let you know right now, it wasn't a very good game, but it's one of the staples for Sega.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of games. Like, okay. It's one of their bigger games back in the early 90s.
Fair.
So, all right, guys. Well, we'll catch you next week with Cassette Beast.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I love you.
That's weird.
You're weird, dick.